From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. Most people pretty much have made up their minds. So if there are debates, is that going to mean anything to you? Call and tell us as well if you're maybe over the Las Vegas Raiders, who have had four coaches in 4 years, and according to reporters who've been on this show, probably won't be that good this year. Or, if you like, what are your thoughts on the school district's policy of no cell phone use in the classroom? It's been only about a week, maybe 2 weeks, that it's been in place. Do you like it so far? Do your kids like it? It's our open mic show, and that's why we're bringing up these different topics. We want to get your views on everything from politics to sports to schools and a lot more. And joining me to start us off, Sandra Cosgrove. She is a CSN history professor and executive director of Vote Nevada. That's a nonprofit, nonpartisan group that promotes civics education. Sandra, welcome back.
Thank you, Joe. Glad to be here.
Great to have you here. And you are all over politics. And you mentioned something to me, and I want to talk about that first. Mail-in ballots. There is an important part of the mail-in ballots that you think a lot of people are missing.
Yes. So if you use the mail-in ballot, everybody gets one. We have universal mailing out. You need to make sure that when you sign the back of the envelope, that your signature matches what's on file with the registrar or the clerk's office. Right now, we're throwing out between 2,000 and 6,000 ballots every election cycle because the person's signature didn't match, so their ballot gets thrown out because they didn't go into the office or they didn't electronically cure or fix their signature. So people just need to be aware that you can always go to any one of the elections departments and you can put a new signature on file. Or just look at your driver's license or your ID. The signature on those documents is what you need to use in order to sign the back of your envelope.
That is a really good point. I got a letter from the election office saying myself that my signature didn't match what they had on file. I was stunned.
Right.
I tried calling and saying what's going on, but you just gave a great explanation. Now, Sandra, you watch politics perhaps with more interest than a lot of people. You've been at the forefront of a push to get open primaries in Nevada. You also support ranked choice voting, and both of those ideas are in a single ballot question voters are going to decide on this fall, and this will be the second time they vote on it. If they approve it, it will become law. But I want you to explain both. First, open primaries. Explain what it is and why you like it.
Sure. So in Nevada, if you've been here for a while, you will already know that our down ballot races are already open primary top two. So everything from the mayor's race, city council, the judges' races, our education races, already open primary top two. Everything above that, though, is a closed primary. So that means you have to be registered Democrat or Republican in order to be able to vote in those races. And up until about 2012, our nonpartisan voter registration stated about 14%, and most people were registering Democrats or Republicans. Right now, our nonpartisan voter registration is the largest number of voters in Nevada.
And again, because we don't have open primaries for those higher races, nonpartisans are basically getting ballots
Without
anything they can vote
in the primary.
Yeah, in the primaries. Yes.
Yeah, and so they are shut out. They are prohibited from voting. As that group is getting larger and larger, I have a real problem with prohibiting anyone from voting. And so when this idea of open primaries top five with ranked choice voting in the general election, when I first heard about it, I was attracted to, is there a way we can reform our primaries to stop prohibiting people from voting and to get maybe more people, more ideas, more diversity moving forward to the general election? Because in most states, by the time the primary is over, most decisions have been made over who's going to win because of gerrymandering, because of the way the parties are controlled by the primaries. A lot of young people don't want to vote because they feel like the parties are too controlling over the primary. So I immediately latched on to that open primary reform. But if you move five people into the general election to get more diversity, you introduce the spoiler effect. You're going to do vote splitting, and then maybe the person that only has 21% of the vote wins. We don't want that. And so ranked choice voting says in order to win, you have to have 50% plus one of the votes to be able to say you're the winner.
We're talking about ranked choice voting now.
Yeah, so this is where the ranked choice voting comes in. If no one gets 50% plus one in the general election, what happens is you go into an instant runoff. For it to be an instant runoff and not require you and me to have to haul back over and vote again in a regular runoff, What you can do is on your ballot, you can rank your candidates. You don't have to. It says you can rank up to five. You can just pick one if you want. But you rank them in order of preference. And then if the instant runoff happens, the person with the least number of votes, the candidate with the least number of votes.
Okay, so let's say there's candidate A, B, and C. And I vote, my A is not the top candidate. My B and C are the top two candidates. What happens to my B and C votes?
So if let's say you've got three, and A is the one that's going to be eliminated because they had the least number of votes, that candidate drops off. But then the computer looks and says, well, who did Joe pick for his second choice? And let's say you picked B for your second choice. Your vote then in the instant runoff goes with B. If it has to go another round to get 50% plus one, B would drop off and they would say, well, who did Joe vote for next? Candidate C. So in the retabulation, your vote goes to candidate C. And this happens instantaneously because it's done with computers.
I haven't heard a lot of support first, and let's talk first about open primaries from either party. Why wouldn't the parties want open primaries?
They control everything in a closed primary. They can control who gets supported. They control who's voting. They can control a lot in the primary. And then that sets them up to be able to have more control in the general election. But you're disenfranchising. You are saying to the largest group of voters in this state, you pay for these primaries, but you're not allowed to participate. And so we're asking the parties to please turn a little bit more power over to the voters so that we can bring more voices in.
And the same question for ranked choice voting. I'm not seeing really any support from either party for ranked choice voting. In fact, I'm hearing that there's money out there to advertise against ranked choice voting as the election comes near. Why wouldn't they want ranked choice voting?
Again, it gives more power over to the voters, and it makes it harder for the parties to actually weigh in and pick who's going to win. Right now in the general election, the person usually with the most money wins, and it's the most firepower with money. But if you're going to be able to win in a ranked choice voting election, you need to campaign for second choice votes. So if you and I were competing and we were in a regular election, I'd be firebombing you because I wouldn't want people to vote for you. Mm-hmm. I would want those votes. But if we were in a ranked choice voting election and I knew I needed second choice votes, if it goes into an instant runoff to be able to win, I'm going to talk to your voters and say, Joe's a great guy. You know what? I would like your second choice vote.
Do you think it'll lead to, aside from the firebombing and the glad handling of these second choice votes, it might lead to more discussion of issues?
Yes. And if you look at what Alaska is doing right now, because Alaska adopted almost this exact same system in 2022. They're doing top four. We're doing top five. So we can actually see it playing out in real time. That's what's happening there.
We have been talking about some election issues, a ballot question, actually, that's coming up that you will all see on your ballot this fall. But the mic is open to you today. You really lead the discussion. So give us a call with whatever is on your mind, and we'll talk about it. You can just call and leave us a comment, a question. If we can't answer it, maybe another listener will call and answer it for you. We do have some comments here, though. We had a previous show last week talking about Commercial Center, where we put some sketches really online, and we talked to Russell Davis, who is a consultant, who says for some developers out of California who want to turn Commercial Center, which is the oldest outdoor mall in Las Vegas at Sahara and Maryland Parkway, they want to turn it into some 10,000 units with affordable housing, affordable retail, and a lot more. And this is one of the comments we got. As a tenant at Commercial Center, I believe they're trying to turn this into another Main Street project where the local mom and pop shops are going to be unable to pay for the cost of rent. I got another comment here that says, the downtown community is dumbfounded by the surf park idea for Commercial Center. And if you saw the sketch, there is a surf park in the middle of it. The downtown community is dumbfounded. I think it would be really great to interview downtown residents and people that are currently in Commercial Center to get their view of what they think the future of Commercial Center should be. We already see a growing trend in success stories from Commercial Center. Why shift gears like this? A surf park is completely insane and does nothing for this surrounding community. When we had that show, we did have artist Nancy Good on the program, and she does have a storefront, a gallery at Commercial Center. But Sandra, you've lived here a long time. And you know Commercial Center. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this, these ideas of redeveloping that whole area?
Right. I'm actually a commissioner on the town board for Sunrise Manor. So we're the board you come to when you need a permit to put a shed up. But we also see a lot of the development that's going to be proposed over in Sunrise Manor. So what I know when I see one of these ideas about we're going to put 10,000 units, we always want to know, well, how many parking spaces are you going to have? Mm-hmm. What's your entrance and exit? Can their surrounding streets handle all of that traffic? And so high density comes with a lot more traffic. I would want to know, I'd want to see a study of the roads, the where you're going to have entrance, where you're going to have people parking, because if you don't take care of that, it will be a mess.
And again, I'm here with Sandra Cosgrove, CSN History Professor, Executive Director of Vote Nevada. We also got this note very recently, emailed to us, said, I can't call in today, but I've been wanting to ask, did you know CSN has outsourced some of its departments to international call centers like their financial aid? They mixed up my stuff entirely. And now I can't go into the fall semester like I'd planned. Odd, considering that it is a public institution. It's funded by tax dollars. I'd think they would keep those jobs local or at least to Nevadans. Sandra, you're a CSN professor. Have you heard about this?
Yes. And faculty have been worried about stuff like this for a long time. What we saw when the Great Recession happened is they had to cut costs. And so efficiency took over keeping jobs local, you know, having people on the ground. And that has been kind of the way they keep the budget in balance, is by outsourcing.
At the same time, CSN might be expecting something of a windfall, according to a new plan that is being posited to divvy up funding from the state legislature. What's CSN professor saying about this?
We have been following along. They're going to redo the funding formula. And we always have to kind of worry about CSN, even though we're big. Sometimes we end up on the back burner compared to the universities. And it's not the university's fault. It's just sometimes the people on the committees only want to focus on them. What faculty are saying is we need more student services. We have students coming out of CCSD who have issues because of the pandemic or issues. Well, you've done shows on CCSD. They have issues. And so our students need mental health services sometimes. They need tutoring services. And so faculty end up kind of being strung thin because we're trying to provide all those student services. So I know if that money is there, that's what we're going to ask for.
I'm here with Sandra Cosgrove. She is a CSN history professor, executive director of Vote Nevada. That's a nonpartisan group that really promotes civics education. Sandra, you know, Nevadans are going to be choosing a candidate for president. I wonder, because you've been talking about politics and really investigating it, and you're a history professor for so long, do you think our presidential choice is more important than who we choose at the local and even the state level?
No. It's important to make sure we have, you know, somebody good and competent in the office of the presidency. But on a day-to-day basis, the school board, the Board of Regents, city council, county commission, local sheriff, those people impact you every single day. And so I try to remind people, yes, we see all the flashing lights and everything around the presidential race. Please make sure you vote down ballot. We elect judges in this state. Those are all down ballot races. And people will say to me, well, I'm not going to commit a crime, so it doesn't matter if I vote for a judge. You're going to do jury duty. You might end up be doing an adoption. There's many reasons why you would go into court. You need to vote down ballot.
Well, that brings up, in a way, the presidential race, because the president is the person who can nominate somebody for the U.S. Supreme Court. And we saw that Donald Trump, when he was president, nominated and got approved 3 conservative judges to the court.
Correct.
Are you worried about that?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't say don't worry about the presidential race because all of what you just said, but people oftentimes only worry about the presidential race and they don't look at the congressional races. But I especially worry about school board, Board of Regents, city council, because on a day-to-day basis, when we're driving around and see orange cones, when you're sending your child to school, when we're talking about CSN and who's making the decisions at CSN, those are all local races.
You know, there's a really interesting, I'm not calling it a phenomenon because we have been hearing about it for many, for at least probably 8 years now, but it almost sounds like, and I'm nonpartisan really, but like Republicans are gearing up for a loss. Donald Trump has been telling supporters to be wary of corruption, which political observers say is probably an attempt to undermine the legitimacy of the election before it happens. In Colorado, Republican leaders have asked local Republican board members not to certify results of local elections. That was in 2022. They ultimately failed, but the thought is that they're gearing up to do the same this fall. I just wonder why somebody with your point of view, who has a historical point of view in this country, why do you think that remains 4 years after really the failure to overturn the 2020 presidential election in favor of Republicans?
It's a lack of civics education. And so when you look at people who believe misinformation about what happened in the election, confusion about the election, a lot of times when I talk to those folks, they don't understand the election process. So they see something that they don't understand and assume maybe that that might be corruption. Or they assume that election processes are supposed to be one way and then it happens another way. So for me, making sure every voter or every person understands our election processes is very important because that immunizes people to misinformation.
Well, give me an example of that.
And so, you know, sometimes people will say, oh, well, I was an observer when they were doing the mail-in ballots and I saw them open up a ballot and then they went into another room and a bunch of people looked at the ballot. They then filled out another ballot and they set the original ballot aside and moved the new ballot in. What would you think if you saw that? Would you think there was corruption?
Somebody watching them might think, oh, they're filling in what they want to be on that ballot.
So here's what happened. Again, we have to be careful with the mail-in ballot process because if someone turned in their mail-in ballot and then wrote their name on the ballot or they wrote a note on the ballot, they've then kind of spoiled their ballot. Their ballot can't go through the machine. And so what that person does is they go through a process where three or four other people verify what was on that person's ballot and they fill out a new clean ballot. They take the original ballot that was spoiled and they put it aside for audit purposes and they take the new ballot and put it in so that it gets counted.
Oh, so interesting. We're going to stick with politics here. Newer polls have reported that 75% of Americans, 3 out of 4, say the presidential election is vital to maintaining democracy. They're worried about it. But Republicans and Democrats both blame each other. Republicans say Joe Biden has weaponized the Justice Department against Donald Trump. They don't have evidence for that. Democrats fear a Trump presidency would strengthen the conservative Supreme Court to overrule various American freedoms. And it hasn't helped that Donald Trump has told voters recently that if he's elected, they'll never have to vote again. Others, though, say, you know, don't worry about it. This could never happen in this country. You're a history professor. I wonder, do you fear for our democracy? Do you think something like that could happen in this country?
As a historian, I want to tell you that when people say to me it's worse now than it's ever been is not true. We have had raucous politics where people have said all kinds of crazy things and gone after each other from the very beginning. Our founding fathers did it. And so you have to put it in historical context. But we have to remember when there's checks and balances, we're a check. The people are supposed to be a check. We do it when we vote. We do it when we advocate. We do it when we do ballot questions. More people need to stand up in our system and be a check in that process. To say, I understand what just happened and I'm not going to believe what you just said. Or I understand how this new thing might help strengthen democracy, so I'm going to go ahead and support it. The people need to be more of a check so that the people who are in the parties can't do this.
And we just have an email here from Donald who says that proposal to allow those choosing not to become a party member to vote in a party primary minimizes party member votes and will likely lead to mischief from those even adamantly opposed to the party holding the primary. For me, more attention needs to be given to the interference in primary elections of parties seeking to influence the result. A notorious recent example is the role of AIPAC, American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, a pro-Israel lobbying group, in recent primaries. What are your thoughts on that?
So we need to talk about what a primary is. In 2008, in a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, and this came out of the state of Washington, the state of Washington had a ballot proposal to go to open primaries. And the two political parties say, no, you can't tell us who our nominees are, so we don't want you to open up the process. The U.S. Supreme Court said if taxpayers fund an election, taxpayers get to decide how to use the election. The only thing they can't do is pick the nominee of the party. But the parties, as private entities, can do whatever process they want to pick their nominee. We just saw that happen here. So the Republicans, it decided not to participate in the presidential preference primary, held a private caucus, and that's how they picked their nominee. The Democrats had a presidential preference primary and then decided they didn't want that person and picked someone else. They can do that. They're a private entity. And so the primary election can be just for moving people forward to the general election, and everyone can participate in that if that's what we want to do. Now, when he's saying that there could be interference, he's talking about a semi-open primary where you could go in and you could say, I want to be a Democrat or I want to be a Republican on that day. And they're afraid that Democrats would vote in the Republican or Republican would vote in the Democrat. That's not what ballot question three is proposing. We want open primaries, just like the mayor's race and the city council race, where everybody's on one ballot and you pick one. If you're a Democrat and you pick the Republican, you just threw your vote away. You're going to want to pick a Democrat. Same for Republicans. If you want a Republican to move forward, don't vote for a Democrat. But that's exactly how we run our down ballot races now.
Okay. You just started classes at CSN about a week ago. It was about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, talking to young people, people who called into the program, saying they have no interest in this election. They didn't want either Biden or Trump. What are your students talking about now? What are they saying about the election?
I heard the same thing a month ago. I don't want to vote. I don't like the candidates. They're not listening to us. So now I'm hearing, okay, hey, they listen to us. There's a change. We like this new VP pick. We like what we're hearing now.
Why would they like Walz at the Democratic Party?
He's a pragmatist, which is very close to being a progressive. He's not a progressive. He's a pragmatist. And so he is very much, let's just look and see what needs to be done, solve the problem, do it, and move on. So he's kind of a no-nonsense, don't get wrapped up in a bunch of party politics, let's just fix things. So he likes that. What I'm now saying to them, great, I'm glad you're voting, but as we just talked about, please make sure you also vote down ballot, because the Board of Regents is important to you. The sheriff's race is important to you. Everything that's on that down ballot race is also important to them.
And we have an email here from Lisa who says, I take my voting rights very seriously, but I'm very challenged to find out history and records for people running for local positions so I can make an informed decision. What are my resources? You know a lot about this. Go ahead.
That's kind of the problem is, well, there's two problems. Sometimes people don't know what the Board of Regents is and where do I find out information about job description. But then especially down ballot, because the parties don't invest as much money down ballot, you don't have a lot of advertising. Maybe it's a website, you know, maybe somebody has a Facebook page. What I recommend is go to candidate events. Find out where those candidates are going to be and talk to them face to face. But the first question you should ask them is, tell me what the race you're in would do. If you got elected, what does that job do? If the candidate does not know, that's probably a sign that maybe don't vote for that person. But especially with judges, is it the family court, district court, justice court? Ask them to explain that and then ask them, why would you be the best person for that job? So right now, it's a lot of just face-to-face.
You think that's the best way?
Yes.
Not going to a website.
Everybody's website is built by the same person. So usually the Democrats have one vendor that does websites, and the Republicans have one vendor. So you're going to find that a lot of the websites look the same. And there's not a lot of, there's bones, but not a lot of meat on the bones on those websites. When you're talking to someone face-to-face, though, you can ask them poignant questions. You know, what do you think about book banning? Or, you know, what do you think about, you know, people going out on parole? And force them to answer the question. If they can't, go to the next candidate.
I'm going to switch gears here for a second. We have about 2 minutes left. The WNBA Las Vegas Aces are an awesome team. They won the last two championships. I know you're a fan.
Yep.
They lost a very close game last night, and it was sort of Asia Wilson's, despite her 42 points.
42 points, yeah.
They still lost. They have the playoffs, though, and I've talked to reporters on this program who say they are a playoff team.
They are.
Do you think that they'll turn it around when the playoffs come? Are they able to turn it on then?
The problem is that they've relied on Asia too much. And Becky Hammon started saying this in the last game, and Asia's saying it. And Asia steps up. I mean, she's an excellent player. But because they've relied on her so much, the other players have not been good on defense. The other teams got really good on defense. And so we're having to kind of scramble around as we're trying to make it to the playoffs to become really good at defense. And it's hard to be a good defensive player and not foul out. And so that's where the struggle is that we're just not a good defensive team.
Yeah, Coach Becky Hammon was apoplectic after last night's game. I mean, right. She is, after other games, let's be honest, but really angry about it last night.
Right, and we lost on defense last night.
Sandra Cosgrove is a CSN history professor. She is also the executive director of Vote Nevada, which is a nonpartisan organization that promotes civics education throughout the state. Sandra, really, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And thanks to listeners who did email in.